from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
It's a train wreck.
Jeez. Yeah. We got a show today.
Why? What happened?
So, we have the draft to react to.
Sure. How do you feel about the two nights of the NBA draft? I will say this. Having covered it, excuse me, when the second round comes around, nobody's paying attention. They're all leaving.
What? And the most highly anticipated second round ever.
Because of Bronny.
Dude, I heard that.
No. You misunderstood. So I didn't say that there is not any interest in these storylines tonight. There's also the Filipowski line. What, you know, where is he going? How is he regarded? But I'm saying if you're there doing the draft, as I did for 4 years, the second round, it's long. It's a long night, and sometimes you don't know who these people are. You're scrambling around. You know, with the 23rd pick of the second round, the Orlando Magic pick, Vladimir Shalamouski from, and you're scrambling around. They give you a notebook the size of the Manhattan phone directory, and you say, he's not in here. He's not in here. What do we do, guys? He's not in here. You know, call Franny. You know, Franny, who's this guy who played in Turkey? Oh, yeah, Vladimir Vanavushevich. He's
good old Franny.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, you know, it was just, it's so fine. Make it a second night. Everybody can refresh. And then you find the storylines that are interesting, one of which is Bronny, one of which is Filipowski.
It was just before the draft started last night. I think it was Monica McNutt went to a segment, and they're like, all right, now it's time to talk about one of the most highly anticipated second round picks in draft history. And I was like, yeah, because we don't talk about second round picks. Yes. Like ever.
Anybody that's talked about in the second round is the most anticipated.
Yeah, right.
Pick. So there's that. What came out of the draft? What came out of the draft were a couple of things. I think. First of all, congratulations to Reed Sheppard.
Oh my God. Three, yeah.
I mean, he's a guy that came in like, well, maybe he can, you know, stay a couple of years and be an attractive player at the NBA level. And instead, he went not only, then he played himself into a first round draft pick, then he played himself into a lottery pick, now he played himself into a top three pick, and people seem pretty jazzed up about it. And I understand that. So good for them. So good for him. He deserves that, I think.
My favorite thing about last night was Dillingham going to the Spurs, and I was like, ooh, Rob and Wemby, like, that can be fun, and he's on the Timberwolves.
And
okay.
He's gone, yeah.
Whoa.
Biscuit was not a huge fan of that trade.
Of what? I'm sorry, what trade was it?
Of Dillingham was originally going to the Spurs and then got traded to the T-Wolves.
T-Wolves traded up to get him.
Yeah, right.
Oh, it's a great – no, you know, that's interesting you say that, because one of the things I read, like everybody else you're reading about the people who do this for a living in terms of just covering the draft, and the discussion was – that is a fascinating trade that could work out for both teams. Sadly, could work out for neither team, but it makes a lot of sense, and it does. And here's why. The T-Wolves have a 37-year-old point guard. He's a very good player, but he's 37 years old.
And he's the same exact like build as Dillingham.
So this
too.
Guy comes so this in, perfect. And he can fill the role and get his feet wet. And not have to be
inject
the guy.
A little bit of youth,
and then down the road. Because my own bias. I think he's going to be a hell of a player. I told you that from the jump. I think Dillingham is going to be a terrific NBA player. So that made sense for me. San Antonio, while he's a terrific player, they now, you know, they need more than just him to come in and get their team where they want to go. They stockpiled a number of picks that they can parlay into. Trades for veterans, or they could, you know, build their roster. I mean, this isn't Popovich's first rodeo. He knows what he's doing. So the argument was it made sense for both of them. And, you know, because the T-Wolves are in a window of win now, and they got a guy that can help them win now. The Spurs are going to be really good, but they're not win now, right?
No, they're
now.
Still in
this rebuild.
They're win
a couple of years down the road, and this helps them do that. So that one made sense to me. I got to admit, that did make sense.
Biscuit, our resident Spurs fan, was not a fan. He was because he really wanted Dillingham.
Well, I understand that. I would want him myself.
Here's one thing that I always – it's every year, and I always ask myself, and I've never gotten the answer.
Okay.
When, like, trades happen before the drafts, mm-hmm. like – Bridges to the Knicks,
right.
And then Danny Avdija went to Portland. They and like it was like Portland's pick went to Washington, But when Washington's, and I'm using quotation marks, Washington's pick came up, it still said Portland was up.
I know.
And then Portland
Trust
picks,
me.
And then he wears a Portland hat, and then he's like,
that,
and then here comes Woj.
Actually, he's going to Washington in a trade, blah, blah, blah.
Drive us nuts.
Because
we didn't know about it. At the table, you know, the guy come up that like, oh, man, this is in my wheelhouse. I prepared for this guy. And you do 2 minutes on why he fits in with the team he just wore the hat of. And then, like you said, we'd get word literally 45 seconds later, he's not really going there. He's going.
Yeah, right.
I agree with you. I don't understand why they have to do it that way.
Sure, that is really
frustrating. No, you know why you can't get an answer? Because we did it and we never got an answer. Because we'd ask the same thing. Why is it have to? It must have something to do with the business side of the logistics of it in terms of, you know, some of these draft picks are acquired through trades and stuff.
Right.
And so maybe that's why. I don't know. But it's very confusing. It's tremendously confusing. And it's a pain in the ass, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they can't just put, like, the team that the guy's officially going to go to.
My favorite.
Yeah,
my favorite,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, why wouldn't you just say that?
Yeah,
my favorite draft photo of all time is Luka in a Hawks hat and then Trae Young in a Mavericks hat.
Yes.
It's like,
yeah, right.
Wait, exactly. That looks so weird.
Oh, yeah, I bet you could put together a whole album of guys wearing hats for teams that they never even went to training
camp. Yeah, never even stepped foot in the gym, right.
Dalton Knecht was fascinating going to the Lakers. That's
that was the big one of
the
bigger stories.
One.
No, whoa. Zach Edey at 9 was insane, though.
Why?
Because I thought he was going to be a lottery pick, but they were saying like more like 15 to 20 range.
He might have gone higher than
15,
that,
yeah,
except
right.
that the teams right ahead of them all they had no need for centers.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it fell into their lap. And so, no, that made sense because I couldn't understand why. When I saw he wasn't going to go to the draft, I was like, is somebody telling him you might not go in the first round? That's why we talked to Uncle Paul yesterday, Paul Biancardi, and he said, no, he's fine. And Paul made the great point that the experts all made, if you watched it, that not only he's a good player in his own right, but with the importance of the pick and roll in the NBA, oh, my God, the man sets screens the size of buildings.
He's
gigantic. Punishing screens is what the term they used yesterday.
He's matched up with Jaren Jackson, so that those two, because Jaren Jackson just recently won the Defensive Player of the Year, like, before Gobert.
That helps him.
This is going to be a very...
Well, it helps him because he's not a great defender, though. I mean, because he's not...
But he's going to learn.
But, well, not and only that, he's going to get help
from
Jackson. So, yeah. So, that's interesting.
I think they were showing his things. He's, like, still 300 pounds. And I love how they're like, he's from Canada and he grew up playing hockey. And I'm like, that would be terrifying on the ice.
Got to cut down the poutine a little bit.
Cut down on
that's the conditioning. The conditioning issue is the thing. But he played a ton of minutes at Purdue. A ton of minutes. I'm not sure I completely understand that. The Knicks took a guy I'd never heard of, and that made Stephen A. Roll his eyes. But then the other analyst, I don't remember his name now, came in and quickly reined him in. See if I can find the audio.
Okay, I'd like to hear that.
Oh, that was great because he's like he's screwing his face up, you know, like somebody broke wind in his face.
Yeah,
and
right.
The guy's saying, Stephen, not so fast. Stephen A., not so fast. And then he went and he talked him off the ledge. And I'll see if I can find why.
How do you say his name? Pacom Didiat? Dadiat? Pacom Dadiat, I guess.
Yeah, Dadiat. You don't
Daddy
say
it. Daddy.
Daddy. I
thought Stephen A. had a Frank Neal Keno, like, oh my God, another French guy. Oh no.
Come Daddy. Let me see if I can find that for
there
you.
Was another
Maybe
one.
We get what's his name? Michael Rapaport, Dingus Pingus.
Oh God, that's a classic video. No, what's his name? The Bulls picked, like, Matis Bezulius.
Yeah, Matis Bezulius.
I was like, because my girlfriend's a Chicago fan. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know where he's from, but hey. He's foreign, like, he's probably good, and, like, if I don't know who he is, he's got to be amazing. Like, that's my joke. And then it was like, yeah, hometown kid from Chicago, like, stays in his hometown. I'm like, wait a minute.
2024 NBA draft, the New York Knicks select Pacom Dadier from Vitry, Sursen, France.
There's Stephen's face, scrunched up.
Wait, I'm going to change that face. Dadier. By the way, the fourth Frenchman taken in the first round of this draft. Ready for this.
Okay.
He got length there. 6'9". Shooting 40% from three.
Okay.
Last 10 games, he shot 84% from two.
Okay.
And 43% from three.
I'm good.
You have...
That's what it was. Because Steven was saying we need size, we need length. We need length, really, is the term he used. And so he says he's got some length. He's not super big by NBA standards, but he's
six,
big.
Nine,
but he shoots the crap out of it, which they certainly need. And so he kind of calmed Steven down a little bit, Stephen A., who speaks for all New York Knicks fans. So, because we all have images of Frederick Weiss, another Frederick Weiss pick, or
Frank Ntilikina,
the Italian guy, although he's still in the league. Bargnani?
Oh, Andrea Bargnani, yeah.
So anyway.
There was a little bit of a who the truck is this guy. Yeah.
No, no question. But the Knicks are good. You know, that's the discussion. Are they a threat for the Celtics now?
That's how I felt about the whole draft the last night. I didn't know half of these guys.
Yeah.
They're all from France and like.
Four from France in the first round.
Which
four.
I also never knew that never happened because I thought France basketball was like killing it. Well,
not,
they are that.
The first two guys, not a surprise. Sarr went second, but Shepard up to third, pretty strong. Castle going fourth from UConn. Was that projected that way? I wasn't sure about that.
Goodman said that he would have picked Castle first overall. Which
really?
Is, like, he's a really good perimeter defender.
Yeah,
I think he'll be
high on Castle.
And he's going. Now, these are the way they're listed. They're all still there. He went to the Spurs. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Spurs at four.
Okay.
That's going to be really good.
That's going to be what?
That's going to be really good with Pop, too.
Yeah, no, he's going to be good. Let me see if I can scroll down and see the other ones
Castle
that jump out.
Castle and Dillingham and Wemby.
I'll tell you who I think is going to be a really, really good pro is Klingon from UConn at number seven. I think that he's got a game that translates.
He's another big guy.
Yeah, but it translates well to the pro game because you got to be mobile. You know, you can't be. That's the only thing I worry about Edie. I do worry about that. As big as he is, he's kind of lumbering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of, and so we'll see. But he's so skilled. He's got vacuum cleaners for hands. You throw it, yeah. He catches it, and he's gigantic. I mean, he can set a double screen by himself. I mean, he's just enormous. What else did we look at that jumped out at me? Connect falling to 17 for the Lakers is absolutely perfect in their wheelhouse.
The Hoosiers, Coel Ware, going 15th.
Woo, yeah, that was another guy. I had no clue about him, and then it was like, led Indiana and everything. And I was like, all right, I'm in. Yeah, good pick, Pat Riley.
Another big guy. There was one other pick that jumped out at me I wanted to make a comment about. I can't remember who it is now. Let me take a fast look and see if it'll jog my memory here when I take a look at it. Because he's a guy that was regarded as a pretty strong player, but everybody passed on him because his reputation was kind of lazy. Who might I be talking about there? Because I was really intrigued when I read about this. I did not know that was the case about him, but he fell. Or maybe it was. Was it Ware? Might have been Ware.
Really?
That was Ware. It was Ware, because what intrigued me is the one thing about the Heat is their commitment to
Their brand.
Culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, Riley, the tough, no-nonsense, bottom line, teeth and kind of guy. The book on Ware is very bouncy, runs like a guard, has potential as a three-point shooter. Talent never a concern, but questions regarding his tenacity and awareness at both ends of the floor.
He's going to get punched in the face.
I was going to say, does that sound like a Pat Riley guy? A guy who's meh commitment to defense and is not all that tenacious?
He's going to learn quickly.
He's going to learn today.
Miami's so cool. Yeah, you got to try or we're going to send you to wherever.
Coach Riles is going to come kick in the jewels. So anyway, so there's that. So the first round's in the books. Now, what time did they go off the air?
I don't know. That's a good darn question. I had hockey last night, so I'm not sure.
Oh, and I watched you win for a change.
Yes.
Maybe the first time I've seen you win a game in
adult hockey. I'm possibly ever. I'm not kidding.
It is possible.
You guys.
I couldn't help but notice, too, you must be getting a brand because there were at least 50% more people watching the game last night. The first week, it was just your mother and I, and last week, there was another lady. So that made, we went from two
Did
to
Anna
three.
And Jeanette make it?
No.
What? She lied to you then. Anna did.
Well, no, she said she might not be coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but at least that week. But yeah, her and Jeanette might be coming. We're gonna you know, maybe set her up with a hockey guy.
Oh, Anna?
So, yeah, Anna.
Wow.
you know.
That's a bad place to do it, though, because the place.
Yeah, that's an awful place to do it.
The least conducive to a romantic. it's like trying to bud a romance inside a dirty sock.
I mean, hey, Anna, this is my friend. Let's go with Scotty. And he smells awful.
Awful, yeah.
Because he just played hockey.
What was damned entertaining?
The showers work, though, so everyone's showering.
They better.
The entertaining night was Nick, my wife there, he wanted to give her a hug before she left, and literally he chased her down the hallway in his skates because she was running out the door so he wouldn't hug her.
You did the same thing.
Oh, I certainly did with my artificial hip. I was hoofing it. It was good. That should be motivation for a workout.
I was going to say, yeah, I could just chase you around, you know, after hockey. Yeah, that was good.
2679680, the text line, some people saying things. Yeah, we already talked
437-9680 UPS jobs text line.
Oh, what I say? 267-2670.
Don't
do that because we're not going to take your calls. But 437-9680.
Not today, at least.
Connect to the Lakers. Yeah, that's that. We already mentioned that. Somebody must have tuned in a little bit late. That was one of the two storylines that jumped out at us right away.
Why was that such a story?
Because he's one of the most NBA ready guys. Yeah. No, the reason it was a story is how far down he went. Because he was considered one of the most NBA ready guys in the draft, and he went so far down the line.
I thought Miami.
People
was
were shocked. Him. That's what people were surprised.
That he dropped.
It's one
so
of those
far.
Things. The NBA is hard to get a feel for because on the one hand you want a guy who's ready to play, on the other hand you know it works against. Him, he's 23.
Oh my god. Yeah.
He's an ancient. He's, you know, it's hard for him to run up the floor with his walker, you know, so but he can. I mean, he's got all the skill sets. I think that's a good get for them.
Where was Filipowski? Like,
he hasn't gone yet.
No, I know, but I mean, like, what happened with that? Like, I thought he was a projected first rounder. Justin Edwards, also UK. There was talk of him possibly going in the first round. We'll see. I mean, Bronny is still the major story of the second round.
There's other storylines. Somebody just texted me this. Could this be right? Patino was just on KSR.
I was going to bring this up.
And said he cut a check to UK football?
No, 100%. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
He actually said that?
He actually said
that. Why did he cut a check to UK football?
Because he's friends with Eddie Grant and Mark Stoops, he said.
Stoops hasn't been there that long, right? He wasn't there when Rick was there.
No, but evidently they're boys.
They're boys? Are they boys? They say it that way?
It has gotten...
So much, so many likes. I swear, I think Rick does things sometimes just so that he says, "Watch this. Watch me do this." It's like that thing you do where you bring your dog and say, "Watch this," and if you pet him in one spot, his leg goes right, and everybody gets a big kick at it. Which, by the way, I read is not good. It's like torturing the dog.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I thought it was both. I thought they both love it and hate it.
Yeah, maybe it's like when somebody's ticklish. Maybe that kind of thing. But I think he does it sometimes so that he'll say, watch me do this. Watch. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to mention it. And then you're going to see.
Well, it has pissed off a lot of the U of L fan base. Oh,
really?
And
really? Did you didn't see that coming?
It's low-key pissed me off a little bit, too. I got to be honest.
Oh, crap. I got to take this call. Go to commercial.
It's fine. We're at the bottom
call.
Of the break. More V-Show on the other side. ESPN 680-1057.
Call.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. We're in this together. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
So Nick has to get back quickly because he wants me to do this, and I will. But I'll give you a heads up. If you're listening on the stream, there's no dump button there. So if you're listening with your children, you might want to take a 15-minute break. If you're listening online, there's going to be a lot of topic. But I, like a comedian I really like, Robert Klein, he doesn't deal. He doesn't just come out and like what you like, dislike what you dislike. But he doesn't come out and he just throws stream after stream of F-bombs. But he would put it in there if it was kind of – it's kind of like nudity in movies. You know, was it really essential to the plot? You know, that's how the people ask. Was it really important? You know, often it's not, but, you know, that's what they ask. The true artists was important. So that's what – in order to get this truly – this the impact of this, you've got to be able to – well, I'm not going to be able to do it because he's not here. So he said he was going to do it, and then he left, so he's gone. Perfect. He just flings me under the bus. Yeah. I was just going to explain, like Clarissa, I was going to explain it so that, you know, it might clear it up. So it won't have nearly the impact because I can't do it in the way that he would like me to. But we're getting texts in, U of L fan base getting a little cranky because Rick Pitino came out and given money to UK. Texter says he's UK's again. You know, he will be the Y at a basketball game. And I wanted to explain why we should be shocked. There are people that are still clamoring. Yeah, take your time, because I set up the whole thing, and then you're not here. So, I mean, it was good. It was just like, here comes the
bus. I was getting a coffee.
What would you get a keg of it? Alex, take it for a cup.
Sorry.
So, but I was trying to get it. I gave him the setup that, you know, you have to kind of use some salty language to for it to make sense.
Right.
Because I'm Clarissa now, and I'm explaining it all. And that's because there's people here still clamoring. God, if only Rick would come back. We love him. He became ours. He's, you know, and now they're feeling a little betrayed because they don't feel like he is returning that love. And it's very simple why. And I think I can explain.
Tanner, I'll handle this.
As an Italian-American. Because you don't understand, Tyler's got a little, paisan in him, so he understands a little bit. You are full-blooded. That we are among the great grudge holders in the history of the world.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that there's very anybody. We may be tied with some other ethnic groups, but there's nobody who's ahead of us. And so, because of that. You could say, well, what's the difference? So why is he holding a grudge against him? Because the difference is this is what would be going through his mind. His mind is, as a paisan, it's like, hey, Kentucky, you know, I broke up with you. You didn't break up with me. I left. I said, hey, goodbye. And so I left. And that was that. But when I went to the other fucking place, they said, you know, get the hell out. Take your stuff and get out of here. Hey, you don't break up with me. That's not how it fucking works. So I'm telling you that you think I'm going to be courteous to you? You think I'm going to fucking be courteous to you? What are you, nuts? So now it's all coming out. And he's not going to forget it because it is not changing. It is not going to change. That's in the mindset. That they stuck it to him. Oh, yeah, well, I'm sticking it to you. So that's where he is right now. So I'm amazed that people are dumbfounded at this. That, like, you know, like you said, I can't believe you did that. Why would you? This is, he's Italian. Any people who relate to this, you should be able to. He got mad when they took some, they held signs. Now he's even bridging that gap. He came out and said, no, I understand now. Oh, the fans are great. I understand now why they were upset when I left. Now he gets why they would hold up a sign, Joanne, we never liked you either. You know, that kind of stuff. At the time, it drove him. I remember interviewing him after the game. I really thought his head was going to burst into flames the first time they played in Rupp, and he didn't get greeted very warmly. And now, though, all's forgiven. Why? Because he doesn't hold the grudge there. He's only holding the grudge against the team because you broke up with me? Wait, I don't truly understand that it fucking works. I'm just telling you that it only works. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, you burn through the dumps.
Oh, crud.
Oh, yeah. It's been done after the
Well, I didn't know how it worked. You told me you could dump it all.
No, I did. I dumped it. I said
so that last one was good.
Oh, no, the last, like, three, I think, have been clear.
You got to be kidding me. You didn't tell me this?
No, I've been hitting the dump
button. I know. We've been hitting it. It's just been, like, 0.7 seconds.
Yeah, we just we only have a certain. That's why I was waving. I was like, you know.
Oh, I understood what that meant.
It's okay. Anyway, finish your thought.
Yeah, so I apologize to the listener. I told you that it was only for the people on the
on the stream.
On the stream. So that's because, first of all, he says he's going to do it. Then he went and got coffee. Then he came back and we played charades. And I had no idea what he was telling me. Waved his hand, pointed to the button, pointed to me, grabbed his I don't know what the hell any of that meant. So I apologize. No,
he ended up just taking a bunt.
Yeah, I apologize to all of you. Because like I said, nobody should be subjected to that unless they know. Like if you go see a comedy show where a guy, you go see, I don't know, pick one, who drops a lot of F-bombs.
Bill Burr. Yeah, Bill Burr. Yeah.
Yeah, you go see Bill Burr, you get what you get. But, you know, if you went to see, Julie Andrews. Hey, let me tell you about what was going on when I did Sound the Music. That blankety blank, I'm telling you, that guy. Yeah, then you'd say, whoa, Mary Poppins. Wow.
Wow, Mary Poppins.
See that coming.
Jim Jiminy, indeed.
So I apologize for you. Texter says, us Irish are right up there with you. That's fair. I will say.
I was going to say.
Yeah. That's
my Irish grandmother has
one
of the hardest holding of grudges I've ever
absolutely.
Seen.
No. Well, may she rest in peace. My wife's mother. Oh, dear God.
Oh, God. Yaya. God bless her.
I don't know how. Because keep in mind, she's of a generation before they had personal computers. I don't know how she kept track of all the people that she had grudges against. This guy did that. That guy did this. This guy borrowed something. Never returned that. This guy did something else. So, again, I apologize. I was obviously only trying to do it for comedic effect. But the gist of it is true, though. You could see how he has evolved into, obviously, they had great teams at Kentucky. He had great teams here. But he left of his own volition there. Here, he feels like he got railroaded. And it caused him 3 years of pain, tremendous pain, and so he's not forgetting. And
do you think he ever will?
Old age does things to people, maybe. But again, Italians have, unless he lives to be like 120. No, I don't think so. I really don't.
So
the problem for him will be this: he is very sincere about how much he. Cares about his ex-players.
No, yeah. And, he loves Peyton and Russ.
And they're all
everybody.
Still here. Yeah, and right. So it's hard for him to say, well, the hell with everybody else and then be close to them. So he doesn't want to, what's the old cliche? He doesn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
So, but in terms of, the way that he left both places, I know it is. I'm just telling you, that's true for probably anybody, but especially at Paisan. I mean, and especially at that stage in his career. I mean, he's a guy that at Kentucky he hadn't yet been in the Hall of Fame. I mean, now he's looking back at the Hall of Famer. You treated me like this. You treated me like this. Now, wait a second. So when does that thing start working again?
That's why I was waving. I was like, it has to build up. It's like a male. It has a refractory period.
Okay, so can he?
I don't know, Tanner. How much time does it build up?
Another scene? Is he ready for another scene?
9 seconds right now. Give it a sec.
No, I'm not doing it. I just was curious. I've only worked on radio 20 years. I know that worked.
Yeah, it has to build back up.
So he needs...
So it's a refractory period.
Bring the fluffer in.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what...
Well, what'd I say?
He needs a little bit of time.
Come on, give it to us, Tulio. Give it to us. What is that worthy of? No, we need that one. Yeah, that's definitely...
I'm so happy he mixed this down.
So.
My mixtape.
The last
mixtape
is pretty good. Absolutely. All right.
We got Mark
Story going to join us. And what I'd be curious to ask Mark about?
Well, I mean, originally we were going to have him talk about the draft, but I mean,
no,
I want to get his thoughts on this Patino stuff.
No, we're going to do that, but here's my question for him specifically about that. Well, it's all well and good that Rick is kind of like, oh, you know, hi, I'm nice to see you guys again, all's forgiven. How would the fans feel? Is he welcomed back?
Yes. Yes, he is. Because enough time has passed, and just based on social media right now, it seems to be about a 9-1. For every 10 tweets.
Well, nobody's ever going to look.
No, right. I mean, there's every now and again, there's a couple of tweets saying, like, he's still a traitor. Screw him. But for the most part, everybody is welcoming back with open arms. And somebody brought this up. They said Rick Pitino is the only coach at UK in, the modern era that left on his own volition. There never was that.
Oh, Bear Bryant didn't he?
Well, I said modern era. There never was a
Bear Bryant coaching in Medicine Balls and Black Sox.
No, I'm saying like last 30 years where there wasn't that downturn of success. And because of that, I saw this one tweet say there's always been that romanticism of what could have been had he stayed at Kentucky and everything like that. And also the rivalry is incredibly strong with this. And knowing that he's picking U of L or UK football over U of L, and it is driving U of L fans nuts.
Yes.
Oh God, they are UK fans. Striebel, our man Striebel might not.
Which is why
it's a good thing he's out of school.
Don't get involved in that because, this man who hasn't coached here in a decade turned 72 in September. He now lives in New York. You're allowing him to impact your life.
Well, yeah, because it's the rivalry aspect, and it's a dead period.
That's what people get mad at me. Well, what do you think? You're bad? No, it's not. It's just I'm not going to let that impact me in a negative way. That's how he feels. It's how he feels. You know what? It's unbelievable.
Well, we talked about this over on Middays with Marcus Maben, and I know we got to get Mark's story on, but
did you say that on the air? You should have. That was great. That's his new term. Marky Mark and the Story Bunch.
I like that. We'll talk about what we talked about on Middays a little bit later. Let's get Mark on.
All right. Mark Story joining us from Lexington. Joins us each week. Always good to have him, especially so now because there's lots of stories that are kind of interesting to folks all around the Commonwealth. Mark, thanks for being with us. Let me ask you, lots of buzz around here because Patino came out in KSR, I guess, earlier and said he's given money to UK's football team of no less the UK football NIL fund, I guess. I don't know if it's going to this program or the NIL, but whatever. He's donating football. Here's my question. It sounds like he very much is reaching out the oversized olive branch to the UK community. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I love you guys. And he's really absolutely – somebody said he's going to be the Y in Kentucky soon, and he might very well be. I don't know. But having said that, would the fans – are they ready to welcome him back with open arms now? What's the – from the fans' point of view, how do they see it, do you think?
Well, it's hard to pick – it's hard to speak for a fan base as large and spread as Kentucky's fully. But, yeah, I think in a lot of ways – and I think there are people that will never forgive him for taking the Louisville job, but I think most fans are ready to sort of move on. And, you know, I think he's made, you know, I think the video he put out in support of Mark Pope at the time when that hire had just been made and the initial reaction had not been positive, I think had a dramatic impact on public opinion and really swung things in Mark's favor. And I think the fact that the coach at Kentucky now, Mark Pope, is, you know, just, you know, worships and adores Rick Pitino, I think that impacts the fans too. And yeah, I think, you know, he will be back coaching in Rupp Arena, not this coming season, but the one after that, bringing St. John's in the season that will be the 30-year anniversary of Kentucky's 1996 NCAA championship team. And I think many Kentuckians, myself included, that was the best UK basketball team of our lifetimes. And I think I think there's been a dramatic swing in public opinion as it regards Rick Pitino in the Big Blue Nation.
Is it fair to say, you know, he doesn't do things willy-nilly. He's very, you know, I mean, to the point of if you've ever traveled with him, he has people set up to pick his bags up when they come off the plane, so he doesn't do that. Not that, like, wow, what a spoiled brat, but I'm saying there's very few details of his life that are not orchestrated. The fact he comes out for Mark Pope, that he comes on KSR, talks about giving money to Kentucky football, you got to think it's a conscious effort to try and get that running start into that game in 26, don't you think so, or not?
I think it's definitely a conscious effort. Now, what the rationale is, and maybe, you know, he's not a young man now, and you sort of get to the end of your life, and he looks back on his career. I mean, not to belittle his achievements at other stops because they were really impressive. You know, other than with the Celtics, he was a big success everywhere he coached. But I think when, you know, he gets to the end and looks at his career, his best run was his time at Kentucky. Came to this program when it was in dire straits. I mean, they were on probation. They had eight players. You know, all the players that people thought were the best players had left. It was, you know, people were saying they weren't going to win five games. And, you know, within 3 years, he had Kentucky in the Elite Eight. And in 6-7 years, they'd won the national championship. I mean, it was just a tremendous coaching job. Probably the best coaching job I've ever seen up close and personal. So I don't think it's And I think it's somewhat understandable why he would want to sort of, you know, get back to where that the people that benefited from that can show him appreciation and he can be accepted by that group again.
It is in fairness, though, and I'm not trying to stir the pot. I mean, of all people, me, I don't really. And I know it frustrates some of the fans who truly enjoy that aspect of it, of, you know, getting to the water cooler and trading insults with their coworker who roots for the different color, red or blue. And that's fine. I understand that's part of sports. But that's not the part that most interests me, so I don't spend a lot of time there. But having said that, I also, you know, kind of talk about things as I observe them. And it is a little bit of revisionist history that, I mean, when he left, I remember the first game Louisville played. Keep in mind, he didn't come right here. I mean, he had that, obviously, he had that time with the Celtics. The first game was at Rupp Arena, and after the game, I mean, you know, when you get the headsets on for the radio, you don't really hear a lot of stuff. And I didn't think they were that hard on him. And I said, well, you know, this was not on the air. We were just talking. I said, oh, it didn't seem like the reception was that awful. And I swear to God, I thought his head was going to burst into flames. His eyes got as big as half dollars. He looked at me. Are you crazy? I was like, oh, okay, no, I didn't really hear a lot of it. But so he was hot. And I mean, it was, as I said, it's kind of revisionist history to think now, well, he just left there on his own and there was a couple of ruffled feathers. But now, I mean, it was really, really, really intense emotion, was it not? Or am I now doing my own revisionist history?
No, it was venomous. I mean, it was really nasty, really nasty. I think some of that was, you know, people felt betrayed, and I think some of it was fear. You know, what the coaching job he had done at Kentucky was just so extraordinary, and I think people were scared he was going to go to a team that many Kentucky fans really do not like and do the same thing, and in doing so hurt Kentucky. So I think that combination of betrayal and fear created a pretty toxic brew.
Can I ask you, having said that, when we look at where basketball was in the mid-90s to now, it's hard to believe it's almost 30 years later, the structure of the game itself is so dramatically different. You know, I don't know Mark Pope very well, but I did see his teams play, and he's done a very good job, and he seems to have a good personality for where he is. He embraces everything that comes with, you know, being a coach at Kentucky. But having said that, do you think that the game lends itself to anybody creating a level of sustained success that would satisfy a fan base that is as demanding as Kentucky's is?
Well, that is an interesting question. Somebody actually asked me that on a talk show in Nashville the day after the Oakland loss, whether it's possible to do, you know, what Rick Pitino did at Kentucky, whether that's even possible in the SEC anymore. And I think that's a good question. Now, you know, Danny Hurley in UConn, you know, they seem to be taking a pretty good step down that road. But they're not in the SEC now, although they are in a very good basketball conference. But, I think that's a legitimate question, that whether the structure of college sports has changed in such a way that, especially college basketball, where it only takes one or two really good players to have a really good team. It's not like football where you need, you know, 50 guys to have to be really, really good. You need two and the right role players in basketball. So, yeah, I think it is a completely legitimate question whether Kentucky's future can match its past.
Well, I mean, the reason I ask is, you know, I know a lot of, and I'm not saying this to be snarky, it's just a reality. People look at, they're very myopic, I guess is the term, and they don't really have much interest in what anybody else is doing other than maybe belittle them or try and minimize what they're doing. But there are other programs that have a pretty fair country history themselves. And the one I'm thinking of off the top of my head is North Carolina, who was, you know, really, really good when Hubert Davis got there, brought the whole team back, and then didn't even make the tournament the next year. I don't think I've ever seen a time in college basketball where the separation between, forget about from good to unsuccessful, from great to unsuccessful is as narrow. It is as thin as a razor blade.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the fact that the best players don't stay in college makes it harder for the quote-unquote blue bloods to dominate the way they traditionally have. Now, I do think there are things you can do to, you know, mitigate that. Now, I think a lot of that involves really good player evaluation, especially how you use the portal. And the other thing, with just as it concerns Kentucky specifically, the SEC is a lot better now than it was.
Yes.
You know, when Calipari had it rolling in his first few years, and frankly, it's better than it was when Rick was here in the 90s. The SEC is good. And there are really good coaches, and it's a much more challenging league to win than it has often been in the past.
Yeah, I think that's a really good observation. It was that used to be the joke, right? That basketball in the SEC was, you know, just the thing to keep you busy between football and spring football. And in fairness, whether you like the SEC, hate the SEC, or somewhere in the middle, you got to tip your hat. I mean, they're still obviously great in football, but look at what they did in baseball this year and in basketball, women's basketball. They have really put together pretty much across the board. You better be willing to step to the plate in all the sports, or you're going to get left in the dust. Like, you got to give credit where it's due. They have done that. So that's a good point. And basketball certainly is at the head of that list. Talking to our friend Mark Story from Lexington. Okay, so we got two guys that Kentucky had taken in the first round in Reed Shepherd and Rob Dillingham, which continues their streak of having players taken in the first round for, what is it, how many years in a row? I don't even remember. You know what it is? 15. They've had at least one player taken in the first round in each of the last 15 drafts. That is quite an achievement. But they're not done yet. The second round goes on tonight. Who's left on the board? Who might we see go in the second round from Kentucky? Mark, what are we looking at?
Well, I think Justin Edwards has a very viable chance of going perhaps pretty early in the second round. And I really hope Antonio Reeves gets drafted. Number one, I think he's a good player. And two, I think he's a good story, a kid that started at Illinois State and just kept getting better and transferred to Kentucky and had a good junior year that ended in a complete debacle, 1 of 15 shooting against Kansas State. Came back, went to work, and had a really, really, really good senior year. And for all the attention that Reed Shepherd and Rob Dillingham got, Antonio Reeves was Kentucky's most reliable player. And just for whatever reason, I thought he had a first team All-American caliber season, and he didn't quite reach that level of recognition. But I'm hoping he gets drafted, because I think he'll be a good player, and I think he deserves it.
All right, brother, it was great to talk to you. You take care of yourself. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, Mark. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, Mark Story with us here. We are going to take a break. And what the hell is in the under-20 American football championship?
Yeah, I'm pissed. I just saw it on Twitter.
Japan is killing us.
No, we already lost. It was yesterday.
But they won like 20. When I turned off, I was watching the video of it here. They were ahead 20-0.
Us or Japan?
Japan.
Yeah, no, they won like 45-21.
Japan did?
Yes.
Yeah. What about that?
USA, that team needs to take down the American flag and report it back to the country.
How about Japan? Well, you know why they had, let's be stereotypical.
I didn't even know we had a team, too, to be completely honest.
No, American football, I don't even know who's playing on this team. We must have no commitment to that, because of all the international sports. We pay less attention to the international sports probably in this country than almost anywhere. Seriously, every other place I've lived, or you, like when I was in Sweden, if their national team was playing a badminton event, right. Oh man, it was the lead story in the sports page. So we don't really care about the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball. But I mean, the only thing I'm thinking is they must have had really good technology, like on the bench. They came off, and all the players had little, iPads.
The running back turned into a robot.
It was just, wow, unbelievable. That is a bit of a shocker. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Thanks for your texts. We'll work some of those in as well. And
Pat Kelsey press conference.
Oh, good. You
might
be able to do that, because I'm going to have to be on the phone with these people.
Okay.
So I have an important phone call to make. Yeah. With Alexander Graham Bell Foundation. They want me to be a spokesperson for the telephone. They're going to try and bring home phones back.
We're bringing them back.
Yes.
iPhone and Samsung be damned.
That's it. Bring your phone back with that long extension cord.
Wireless.
Nick, here. I won't reach you over there. You got to come over here. I can't bring. Oh, for God's sake. I pulled it out of the wall.
Again.
All right. We'll come
back. Rotary phones.
Yes,
that's when it was a simpler time.
Are there truly people that don't understand how a rotary phone works now?
Probably.
I mean, how else could it work?
Well, I mean, because you have to let it go all the way around.
We have to let it go back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Ready? Break.